Hello and welcome to a live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. Tika and I are excited. It's 2012. We were looking forward to the new year rather than looking forward to it going out. We were just so pleased with our self-changes and evolution in our own lives. So we were probably one of the rare few that I've heard just excited about 2012 because of the changes. So we're not going to keep you long tonight. We are talking about New Year's resolution. And in talking about that, certainly as we started with the show, talking about change, we think it's very important to look at New Year's resolutions in a different light before we get too far in the year. So Tika's online with us. Tika, do you have anything that you want to get out before we get started?
No, I'll go ahead.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do, and basically, like I said, it's going to be just a quick show tonight, but we want to get you thinking about, you know, last year, the things that you did last year that you just kind of wanted to leave behind, the people that came into your life, the people that, you know, moved away from your life or stepped out of your life, whether it was willingly or whether it was a decision that you made. All of these things affect how we live our life daily. So hopefully you gave some thought about last year, about the things you did, the things that you wish you had done. And so hopefully some of the shows that we did last year helped you to do that. We did a lot of shows on emotions and things that we hold internally that keep us from moving forward. So those are the things that we really want to focus on this year as well. And again, because it is tradition that we start our new year with, for most of us, it's tradition that we start our new year's with new year resolutions. And whether people admit that they do that or not, I think self-consciously we all do to a certain extent, whether we acknowledge or verbalize it to others or sometimes even to ourselves. I think we sit and think as 2011 kind of came to an end, I think it's just kind of natural to reflect on, wow, you know, your life. What did you do? What things that you just wish you could redo, have a makeover on? So a New Year's, we'll get started. A New Year's resolution is a commitment that an individual makes to one or more personal goals, projects, or reforming of a habit. And I think that's an important word, a habit, because we can habits can come in many forms. I think sometimes we look at a habit as, I think I have a habit of eating ice. So something that's kind of just not like emotional. We don't look at habits being things that could set us back emotionally or set us back in life. So, again, I want to reread that. A New Year's resolution is a commitment that an individual makes to one or more personal goals, projects, or the reforming of a habit. Now, studies show that about 55% of the population begin the new year with a New Year's resolution. However, only about 12% are successful in their New Year's resolution. So to me, that's a huge difference, particularly when you think about we do this every year. We just do it not thinking about last year's resolution. What was your last year's resolution? And were you successful in your last year's resolution? So I hope that many of you thought about that as well. And again, whether you set a goal for a New Year's resolution and you verbalize it or not, I think internally there are some things that you want to be different in 2012. For me, certainly. I a few days ago when I was asked, so what's your New Year's resolution, I don't have one. And I just thought I didn't have one. But in reality, I do have one. I have several. I'm going to talk about one of them tonight. So, again, 12% of us are successful in in creating or making our goal or New Year's resolution a success. And again, that's intriguing to me. One, because we continue to do it year after year. And I think a lot of that is because it's just what we do. We just do what everybody else does without thinking. If you remember last year when we come to you with the shows, we like to give you definitions of things and words and topics because, again, we do things just repeatedly without thought and without thinking, what does this mean? And this is one of them as well. In searching this topic, we realized that a New Year's resolution steered from a totally different culture, so to speak. And, again, that shows that we don't know our history. We don't know why we're celebrating things. We don't know why we do things. We just go with what we've been taught. That's like, you know, Tika and I were just talking about the wedding dress, you know, being white. I challenge you all to kind of Google that and find out how that all came about. Probably would be so surprised to hear. It's not a traditional thing at all as we have made it to be. So I challenge you as you go through this year, one thing is to really research what your thoughts, research what you allow into your thoughts, the people, you know, evaluate people and things. Start to think about what does this really mean? And I think once we start to do that, we will look at those things differently and life differently. So tonight, just a few questions. Tika, you have anything?
No, go ahead.
Just a few questions that I'd like to put out there, and I've mentioned this earlier, but what was your New Year's resolution last year? I think that's important. So January 1st, 2011, or December 31st, 2010, what things were you thinking about and wanting to do differently or you wished at that time was different in your life? And then rewind that to now or to January 1st, 2012. Were you successful? How much effort and time did you put into that New Year's resolution? And if you did put the time and effort into it, when do you remember or can you remember when you stopped? Because I think we probably all start and have good intentions, but we don't, if we think about it, we can't remember when we actually stop working towards that resolution. Now, another thing is, did you implement a plan or have an accountability partner? And I ask that because statistics show that most of us fail because we do not implement a plan. We do not have a partner that will help hold us accountable. And as anything, we have to have a plan. You have to recognize what you're going to do, why. And I think when you talk about why, I think it's good to ask yourself, what will this New Year's resolution do for me and my life? How will it change my life? Because if you start to look at that and keep that in mind, it may make you work at your goal a little bit more, and it may make you want it more. So ask yourself that. You know, look into how will it change my life? A lot of us, you know, a lot of people, they want to quit smoking, they want to get out of debt, they want to go back to school. Weight, they want to get in shape, just a lot of things. So if those are some of yours, how will that change your life? You know, if you're a smoker, think about financially, that will change your life. Cigarettes are really high. If you get in better shape, it could change your life as far as, you know, doctor's appointments, your health, and just being happier and things like that. So think about how those things will affect your life, the people around you, and make a plan to create that goal, to make that goal happen. So those are some of the questions that we want you to think about. And again, they were, what was your New Year's resolution last year? When did you begin to implement your New Year's resolution last year? When did you begin it? And if you remember if you did not, or if you were not successful in it, when do you remember no longer working towards it? And if you can't remember, and if you made one this year, start a chart. You know, start charting. Write down your New Year's resolution. And if you didn't do one, I think we all should maybe think about one thing that we could do differently that will make a huge impact on our life and the people in our life. So if you didn't think about it, and it does not always have to be, Tiki and I talked about this earlier as well, it does not have to be, you know, those things. It could be those things that keep us in bondage. This show is geared towards Galatians 2:20, dying to live, and we think it's more important to focus on those things, such as we talked about fear, we talked about forgiveness, and things like that last year. And personally, I think, and I think Tika will agree, it's better to focus on those things that will free you, because the more you deal with the man in the mirror, the person that you see and recognize what needs to be changed, recognize what's going on inside of you. I think we're all kind of walking around, and this is normal. We all do it, you know, from time to time. We sometimes we do it more. Somebody does it more than others. But I think if we start to really look inward, everything, and cleanse ourselves inward of those things that keep us in bondage, the things outside will start to work out, because we are different. We're looking at life different. And we've talked about so much on the show, change. You know, butterfly evolution. Evolution, that's change. That's consistent change. So if you did not make a New Year's resolution, and again, it doesn't have to be smoking. It doesn't have to be weight. Actually, I think it's better if they're not. I think it should be some deep soul searching. Always things that will better you and better your life. You know, going back to school, rather than going back to school and taking three or four classes, start with one class, or start with a class that is of something you have of interest. Photography, you know, you don't have to just get right back into, you know, being a nurse, but start somewhere. Start taking a small class where it allows you to become more disciplined, getting back into a routine of studying and things like that. So I think we try to reach the top, you know, without a plan, so to speak, you know, without a route, without a map. We try to get to somewhere that we want to be, but we don't know how to get there, and sometimes where we're going, what it will take to get there. So keep those questions in mind. Now, fast-forwarding it, what is your New Year's resolution this year? We've talked about, did you have a plan? So now we want you to get a plan. You know, put that New Year's resolution in sight. Travel that road. See yourself getting there. See yourself making that plan to get there. And again, always have something to focus on, and that is the end result. How will it affect and change your life? Now, an example, while studying for this, an example that it gave in one of the statistics is that if you are trying to lose weight, don't say that I'm going to lose weight. Just give yourself a goal. Maybe I'm going to lose a pound a week, or 2 or 3 pounds a week, whatever works for you, but don't make it so big and broad, okay? So that's just an idea and something to take with you. We want to hear from you all tonight. Again, if you've made some New Year's resolutions, we want to know what they are, what they were last year. Were you successful in your New Year's resolutions last year? And if you have them, again, this year, and how you plan to carry them out. So the lines are open, and we do want to hear from you. And so please feel free to select the number 1, and that will tell us that you're in queue. I'm going to go ahead and open up the chat line. I'm sorry I didn't do that. Just a second here. For those of you who are listening online, the chat line is now open, so you can feel free to submit your question or comment through there. And again, we want to hear what your New Year's resolution is for the year. Tika, do you have anything?
Well, I just wanted to put emphasis in with setting a New Year's resolution. The concept and the true goal, of course, regardless of your creed, is self-improvement. So what, you know, with you saying, you know, ask yourself about what was your goal last year and how to go about achieving that. One thing that I wound up learning while going through the research was that 22% of men achieve their goals a lot better when they engage in goal setting. And you mentioned that just with you were saying a pound a week, such as setting a pound a week and setting more smaller realistic goals and giving yourself a time frame and when you want to do it. But it says that women succeed 10% more in their goals when they make the goals public, and then they get support from their friends. So one thing I wanted to say about getting support from your friends, we know which friends support us in the goals that we want to have and achieve, and then we know which friends, you know, may not tend to be as supportive. So it is in the type of support you get as well, because if the support that you get has any type of resistance or negative feedback from if you're receiving that, that's going to create resistance in you on top of where that was already a challenge for you. So be careful on who it is that you receive and seek guidance from. And then also it's in you lean into God and sometimes even asking him to help show you where you can best be supported as well. And I wanted to also bring this scripture into it. It says in 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, that in this self-improvement is about self-control. And we all know how much control we have of ourselves, not that much. But in 2 Peter, it says that knowing God leads to self-control, and self-control leads to patience and endurance, and endurance leads to godliness, and godliness leads to love for one another and for Christians. And then finally, you will be able to grow in genuine love for one another, as well as you will be able to achieve these goals on your own, because we don't have self-control. We don't have control of our mouths. We don't have control of our actions. And we set these goals, and the reason I believe that they get broken is because if we try to do them on our own. And that's why an accountability partner is everything, and it's the type of accountability partner that you choose. It doesn't have to be a lot of partners. It could be one partner that you may have similar goals. And if you have similar goals, you can help edify them when in their walk with what they're trying to do, whether it's school or losing weight or you know, building their spiritual walk or whatever it may be, and then vice versa, that person will edify you just because you may have some similar interests, you may have some similar desires, and especially if it's someone and you're trying to elevate in your Christian walk, get someone who's wanting to do the same thing, because, I mean, that would be the best type of accountability partner in that, versus not someone that's not something that they want to do, because they the first thing they will say to you is, well, why do you want to do that? Well, I think you should do this, or, well, why don't you do it this way? That's not an accountability partner. An accountability partner listens to what you have to say, and then if they feel, you know, the need to add into it, that God has given them a word to help you, they edify you. They encourage you. They help strengthen you. They help motivate you. They don't question you how, when, and why, and who what is causing you to choose this, but to really understand the difference between encouragement. You want to seek and receive encouragement, and anything that's not encouragement will not help you to achieve your goal. Some people are driven when resistance comes at them, but not a lot of people are driven that way. Some people, that just tends to knock them down even more. Some let it fuels their fire, but it's a two-way street. For some people, it doesn't work that way. So it's if you can just, you know, be wise and careful in who you're choosing to share these goals with, because that will help you get a lot further and achieve the goals that you're seeking to, you desire to achieve.
Thanks, Tika. And I remember saying that about the men and the women, and I thought that was interesting, and I remember just kind of passing by it thinking men, and I know this is a little biased, but I was thinking men are more successful because they have less to do. Women are taking care of the kids and working and cooking dinner and all that. So I remember just thinking they didn't ask enough women on that question, but I remember seeing that and just thinking about that. So I thought that was, just wanted to share that with you all, a little humor to it. I know our men will disagree, but that's okay. And then Tika mentioned as well, and I wanted to kind of emphasize more on that, about knowing, you know, your accountability partners. And if you all recall, I don't know how many shows, but we talked about that, you know, knowing the naysayers, knowing who to go to, and it's not necessarily being a naysayer, but knowing your friends, knowing what type of friend they are, and being able to determine what to share with whom, because a lot of times you can be so disencouraged by someone rather than encouraged. And I'm not real sure if people really know what they're doing or at the time, but I just think people have become so hopeless, I guess is a good word. And they don't really have faith in their goals. They don't have faith in being successful. And again, success is in the eye of the beholder, but I think many of us are really denying God's power in our life, and we're walking around as God believers and things like that, and we're just really denying his power. So just know your circle. We talked about that in a lot of shows last year, and that's one of the things, or one of the many things that we want you to pull from last year, is, again, knowing your circle, knowing, and sometimes you really have to eliminate people, and that may sound a little harsh, but if you're moving forward and trying to change your life, you may not have to eliminate them. Sometimes they just fall off anyway, because not everyone is open to change, and once you start to change, they kind of pull back. So that's unfortunate, but when they get there, they'll come back. So again, just keep that in mind. Again, the lines are open, and I'm going to keep going. If someone has anything that they want to share, just select the number one. But for me, I want to share with you what I decided, and this was just today after rereading over my notes and doing some more search. You know, I didn't really think about a New Year's resolution. I thought, you know, I'm okay. I just want to keep doing what I've been doing. I want to perfect what I've been doing, and I just want to keep growing spiritually, because I think that more than anything has changed my life, growing spiritually and really being honest with myself about me and dealing with those things. So that has been my number one for 2011, and that's the one thing that I want to carry over in 2012, because, again, I think that changes your outer circle. When you change inward, the things that you want to do, the things that you tolerate, the things that you want nothing to do with, you just want your life to get in order. It takes time, particularly if you're my age, and, you know, so the younger you can start, the better for our young people listening, but, you know, it will take time for me to grow through and get all my stuff out, but I see growth. There's one area that I decided that I really need to grow in, and this is not one that I'm proud of because, you know, spiritually, this is unforgiveness is really, I think it's one of the top things that will hinder us in our spiritual walk. But I've really, really struggled with unforgiveness in the year of 2011. I mean, to the point where it really did turn into just plumb bitterness. And that's when it's gotten to a stage where it's really damaging to not only me, but the people around me. So I wanted to share this with you. I found this, and this is in a book called God's Promises for You, and it's by Max Lucado. And I'm going to share another one, but this is the one that I am going to challenge myself to work on and really grow through and get over. But it's on forgiveness, and it says, bitterness is its own prison. And I believe we did a show on forgiveness as well, but again, bitterness is its own prison. The sides are slippery with resentment. A floor of muddy anger steals the feet. The strength of betrayal fills the air and stings the eyes. A cloud of self-pity blocks the view of the tiny exit above. Step in and look at the prisoners. Victims are chained to the walls, victims of betrayal, victims of abuse. The dungeon, deep and dark, is beckoning you to enter. You can, you know, you've experienced enough hurt. You can choose, like many, to chain yourself to your hurt. And I'm going to say that again. You can choose, like many, to chain yourself to your hurt. Or you can choose, like some, to put away your hurts before they become hates. How does God deal with your bitter heart? He reminds you that what you have is more important than what you don't have. You still have your relationship with God. No one can take that. So again, that is one. That's for me. That is going to be the thing that I choose to work on. Certainly, I have other things. I need to eat better. I need to really eat better. That's one thing that I could do and have not acknowledged that. But you know, for again, we talked about making those changes that really help us change internally and grow spiritually, because once you get to a place where you're doing that, the other things you really start to see that you need to work on, and you gradually get there. I mean, it makes you want to get there, because when you don't, you start to feel like you're not being pleasing to God, you're not honoring God's word. You just kind of feel out of order when things are not just in order as God wants them to be. You're not in the will of God. So, again, the lines are open. Tika, do you have anything?
Actually, I just wanted to elaborate on you saying we're talking about unforgiveness and, you know, the need for forgiveness. That's one of the goals most people won't, you know, do for New Year's resolution. New Year's resolutions, all you hear is losing weight or going to school or buying something new, or, you know, we have these kind of sometimes they come so redundant, they're kind of like superficial goals, stop smoking and, you know, better money management, just things that we set year after year after year. 5 years later, we still got the exact same New Year's resolution. But to add, we do. Because mine has been losing weight for years, okay? So, but with you saying that to have a resolution, and that's why I stopped making them, because I realized how redundant my resolutions were. It's the same thing, and if I do the exact same thing I did last year, I'm not going to achieve this goal. So I said, well, just let me stop setting them. I didn't try to rearrange and figure out how to make it happen. I just start erasing off the list what I had seen, you know, continuously. But to have a New Year's resolution as with one thing being forgiveness, that's when you really are, like you said, this is an inner, because it is from the inside out. Self-improvement is from the outside out, from the inside out. Not, you know, we're trying to lose weight and we're trying to do this and we're trying to better educate ourselves, but can you really go to school and stick with staying in school and trying to educate yourself? Or can you really try to stop smoking? Or can you really try to lose weight when you're not trying to fix none of those things on the inside? And those insides can be full of resentment and bitterness and hatred and just vengefulness. You know, you could just have all of these things just festering inside of you. And I promise you that no matter what, that keeps a veil over your eyes. It keeps a veil over your ears, so you don't hear the correct things. You don't see the correct things. And you're not able to do the correct things simply because you're deceived by all of that darkness on the inside. It is really impossible to move forward. And I can actually use the word impossible. It is impossible to move forward. And it is impossible to achieve something positive and productive when all this negative darkness is on the inside. How can something good and bright come out of something dark and cold and closed or this while you have on the inside? So forgiveness is everything. I really believe that should be at the top of the list when it comes to just those feelings that you have on the inside. Resentment, bitterness, all of it comes from unforgiveness. You can almost, if you sit and make a list of everything you're feeling or whatever that darkness is on the inside, all of those feelings, if you take it to the core, I can almost guarantee you will find the core of it is someone that you need to forgive. It's forgiveness. It is surrounded by forgiveness somewhere. You may as well put forgiveness in the middle and then draw all those different ailments and feelings that you have and just draw lines to them, because it is a root of unforgiveness. And you cannot forgive on your own, because some of us, the pain is deep. It is to the core. And that is why, you know, that is why walking with God, you can forgive with God. And I'm saying this because I have no enemies. I have no enemies. I'm not bitter towards anyone. When I used to have an enemy, my enemy used to be in my heart and in my mind and in my mouth and with my words. My enemy used to be my ex-husband. And I knew that I couldn't move forward with having hatred in my heart towards him, but I wanted to hold on to that hate because I felt wronged. But it's amazing how we will cuddle and juggle and struggle with nonsense. We will want to hold on to nonsense even when we know it makes no sense. But until you can come to the realization that, you know what, I'm getting ready to let go of this nonsense because I know that I can't move forward with it. I know that I can't be happy with it. I know that I can't smile when I'm angry on the inside, when I hate on the inside, when I'm mad on the inside, when I'm bitter on the inside. You can't smile through that. You have a fake smile, and your fake smile is obvious to everybody. You have a cold, heartless smile. And so I knew that I couldn't release none of those feelings because they consumed me, and they kept that dark cloud riding over my head for years. I was that person walking with that. I may as well have had an umbrella because I was the person walking with the dark cloud over me, and that dark cloud over me wasn't what was done to me. It was what I was holding on the inside of me, not releasing anybody that's wronged me. And so when you release, when you can release with God, God is the one that helps you to release these feelings of hatred and anger and unforgiveness. He shows you how to forgive. And when you realize that only forgiveness comes through him, it will help you to see that all that he has forgiven you for, because my walk has always been right. My walk used to be very ugly, very dark, very a whole lot I wouldn't want to put up on a big screen if I could put my life up on a movie screen. That's a whole lot I wouldn't want to share or want people to know. But if any part of my life will help to show someone that I've been forgiven and I can do better, I can live better, I can be better, I can talk better, I can walk better, to be able to show somebody, if I have to pull something off of my life movie screen to help somebody else to do and live and be a better person, oh, I'm willing to do that. I don't have any type of shame or fear of judgment from anybody that I think, well, if I share this, they're going to think this, or they're going to think this. I have a clear conscience on what anybody feels about me. I have no enemies. I have no fears. And I used to walk in fear. And we just shared with all of our past shows the fear that I used to walk in. I was a people pleaser. I like pleasing people, and so I didn't want anybody to think of me anything opposite of what I knew that I was. So I was, you know, that concerned me as well. And so that bondage, all of these things, these creep in the bondage, and they just continue to add on and make fester even more of that hatred and that bitterness in you. But once I start releasing that unforgiveness, I noticed that when the unforgiveness went away, the bitterness went away, the resentment went away, the hatred went away, the anger went away, the self-hatred went away. And it took with it, it wound up taking with it so many more other things. So many more other things, meaning I'm not a people pleaser anymore. I don't have fears anymore. I don't fear anybody, anything, or what can happen to me. Now, those fears will kind of come back when things get thrown at me, and I'll have my little bouts of feeling overwhelmed because I am human, but I'm always able to go to the Word, and I'm always able to get on my knees and realize just who controls everything, who controls everything, who ordains everything, who orchestrates everything. Nothing happens without him. So when I take myself out of the equation, realizing that I'm not in control, and when I realize who really is control, that brings those little pieces of anxiety that I try to pull from my past to bring back up into the future and start trying to say, oh, well, this used to hurt me and that used to hurt me. I'm able to cancel those things out when I'm able to stop everything I'm doing, stop these new fears that are trying to come into my life, or new things that are trying to come into my life when I've released all the other fear. I have to sit down and get myself back into the mode of remembering who I am and whose I am. And that clears up everything. And so, Tammy, with forgiveness being a New Year's resolution right there, that's all you need. You don't need a list of 10. You don't need a list of 5. That one is all you need, because if your goal from January to December, by the time December gets here, if that unforgiveness is gone, that will be so profound. That will carry you through the rest of your life in a way nothing else could or would. So that right there that's powerful, more powerful than you know.
Right, right. And Tika, you mentioned as you were talking about the darkness, you know, just having a feeling of darkness or, you know, a cloud over you. You know, I thought about something, and I don't remember where I remember reading this, but it talked about, you know, when in the midst of darkness, if you just picture the most darkest room and turning on, whether it be a candle, lighting a candle, or turning on a flashlight, the focus then becomes the light. Because you're in the midst of total darkness. So when you turn that, whether it's a small candle, it could be a tea light. So just a bit or just a hint of light that you decide to bring in the midst of your darkness, because I think a lot of times, again, we start the new year with all this, you know, we have good intentions. We have great intentions, and it really is what we want to do. But because we've not really dealt with the issue, or some of the issues that are or some of the issues that even got us to a point where we have to make this New Year's resolution. Because if you think about weight, sometimes weight comes from overeating. Sometimes overeating comes from stress about things that you're dealing with. So you have to go back. I shouldn't say have to, but it's great to go back to the core. It's great to go back and take a look at who you are and the things that you've gone through, the things that you're going through, the things that you don't want to deal with, and bring those things to forefront. So I just thought that was a really great analogy. I just remember reading that, thinking about the total dark room and just the hint of light, how it changes, and the focus then is on the light. And I think it's good to make a resolution to bring some light into your life every day. And not really worry about tomorrow. You know, if your focus or your resolution is to eat better, then eat better today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Eat better today. Eat better this hour. Eat better the next time you go out to eat or that you cook. Say, I'm going to eat better this time. And don't be so hard on yourself when you have a setback. Pick it up and start again. And again, bringing that to the forefront, we don't have to wait until 2013 to make a New Year's resolution. We should do this daily. We should want to be different daily or to grow daily. So think about that as well. And again, the lines are open. And for those of you who did not make any, think about what you want to be different in your life. The one thing I remember as well, one of the things I remember as well when last year's shows was about finding your passion and putting it to work. Because, again, working in your passion or being in the midst of your passion, I think it makes people happier when they are doing what they love, whether you're doing it on the side or, you know, you're making a plan to get to a point to where you can do it daily. Start thinking about what your passion is. It is never too late. Never too late. You know, I heard the sermon Sunday at church, and the pastor spoke about, you know, someone saying, well, I'm 40 now, and if I go back to school, I'm going to be 44 when I graduate. And he said, well, they're going to be 44 anyway in 4 years. So why not go back to school? It doesn't matter. If we find ways to not do some things. It's too late. I'm too old. I have this to do. I don't have time. And that comes from some kind of a hopelessness, a lack of faith, a lack of determination to do it, a lack of fear. And, again, we talked about a number of those things. I want to read, and again, the lines are open, and in closing, if we don't have anybody, you know, that has anything to share, I want to read something to you on hope. Because, again, I think a lot of us have become hopeless. And Tika and I were talking earlier, it's so easy to become hopeless. You look around in this world, and sometimes I just sit and stare in awe of some of the things I see, some of the things I hear, particularly with our young people, what they're going through. I cannot say enough about what I hear consistently from young people, particularly our young girls, and what they're going through with their families, just the things that they have to be exposed to at such early age. And I think we as women have a lot of work to do. So for you women out there listening, we have a lot of work to do, particularly when it comes to being mothers and examples for our daughters and our boys as well. But that's another story. But I think we have just become hopeless, a lot of us, with seeing what is going on. And you kind of think, like, wow, what's the use? And as much as I read and try to stay in my word as well, there are some days I feel that way. I feel like, why am I doing this? What difference can I make if with meeting with the young girls once a month? You know, I remember one of them two months ago, I guess it was, I remember leaving that Saturday thinking, what's the use? I cannot change their situation. They spend a couple of hours with us, but they go back to their situations. And I just remember thinking, I'll be honest with you, I'm wasting my Saturdays, and I'm wasting days of prep that we prepare for them. So you just kind of become hopeless. And so in spite of all the reading and studying I still become hopeless some days. So I want to read to you. This is from the same book. This is a great book, and it's God's Promises for You. And it just reminds you of all the things God has promised us, that life sometimes just takes away. Life, situations, what we see, it steals our joy, it steals our hope. And so this one is on hope. And then I want just two quick little quotes I want to read, and we'll bring it to closing unless someone's out there that, again, want to share their New Year's resolution or just to share something about tonight or anything. So, again, this one is on hope, and it reads, "It's hard to see things grow old. The town in which I grew up is growing old. Some of the buildings are boarded up. Some of the houses are torn down. The old movie house where I took my dates has a for sale sign on the marquee. I wish I could make it all new again. I wish I could blow the dust off the streets, but I can't. I can't, but God can. He restores my soul," wrote the shepherd. "He doesn't reform, he restores. He doesn't camouflage the old, he restores the new. The master builder will put out the original plan and restore it." So again, he will pull out the original plan and restore it. "He will restore the vigor. He will restore the energy. He will restore the hope. He will restore the soul." And I liked about that part was he will pull out the original plan and restore it. And what that meant for me is God had a plan and has a plan for my life. Now, as we talked about on previous shows, boy, have I taken some wrong turns. Boy, have I stopped too soon. Have I kept going when I was supposed to stop. But to know that God still has that original plan and he can restore it and will restore it, that means the world to me. However, I do know that there comes work with that. There comes some recognition on my part, there comes some work where I have to make some changes, and they won't all be pretty. I won't like all the changes and all the things that I have to go through, but I certainly will like the end result. So just think about, God can pull out that original plan. And I like to say, he doesn't even have to pull it out. He has it just waiting on me to show back up. So that just meant a lot to me. And again, these are things that come from a book called God's Promises for You. And I just kind of picked this up when I'm struggling. And it has all kinds of things on there, you know, God's faithfulness, God's love, strength, God's steadfastness, temptation, and other things. So it's kind of like things that we go through that you just kind of need to pull out something and read real quick to get you back on track. No one's selected the number one. Remember, the lines are open. And in closing, I want to just, this is a quote, and this is It's an anonymous quote, and it says, New Year's resolutions are about change. And we keep hearing that word, change. So New Year's resolutions are about change, a change of habit, a denying of self, and all that has become normal to you and your life. Okay? And that, to me, just it sounded like butterfly evolution to me, because a change of habit, denying of self, and again, this show was created on Galatians 2:20 and talking about things that, you know, that we're dying to live, you know, eliminating those things from our life. And so but it reminded me of butterfly evolution, and next week we plan to kind of talk about butterfly evolution and just really focus on what that means to us and why we talk about some of the things that we talk about and prepare you for some of the topics that, because we really want to get deep, because we really want people to evolve and then help someone to do the same. And it has to be someone who's willing to work at making that change. So that was a quote, and again, and it's an anonymous quote, so didn't know who wrote that one. If nothing else, Tika, do you have anything? I hope that this show has been helpful. And again, if you did not make a New Year's resolution, think about something. And again, it doesn't have to be something that you smoking again. It doesn't have to be weight. We really hope that it's something that is very spiritual and that's going to change you inward. And then consistently make those things. You know, take the time to work on three things this year, quarterly. You know, for me, like I said, it's going to be forgiveness. That's something that I think is really hindering my spiritual walk. So I have to work on that this year. That's all I have. Tika, do you have anything?
Yeah, I wanted to kind of go back and kind of elaborate a little bit when you were talking about how light dissipates darkness, how it could be a completely dark room and it could be a flicker from a candle or just a little bit of fire, but how light dissipates darkness.
Uh-huh.
But if we could get into the concept or the understanding of if you were to walk in a dark room and it's completely dark and you don't know where anything is, how do you move forward? You can't even take a step forward because you don't know if there's a step in front of you. You don't know if there's a pit in front of you. You don't know if there's water, quicksand. You don't know what is in front of you, but you're in this pitch black room. But if you turn on the light, or if you have a match in front of you, or if you have a lighter, or if you have the light from your cell phone, some form of light, it completely dissipates the darkness. And that lights your path to move forward. And so it is so easy to use God as the concept of light, because if light dissipates all darkness, and you know that since he is light, he will dissipate the darkness in your life. And whether for the resolution you wanted to stop smoking or stop drinking or stop eating as much, usually those things are different vices that we have in our lives because it's to cover up or hide behind or to comfort us in some form of pain. And a lot of times eating will do that, because eating I ate comfort when I was going through something really, really heavy, and I gained 100 pounds in the doing of it. But those vices can be removed when that darkness is removed as well. And so it trying to lose weight, you will be trying to lose weight, and you may get your goal of knocking those 20, 30 pounds off, but it's going to come right back if the inside is not clean, if you're not going to the core and taking care of what the problem is. Or if you want to stop smoking, you may stop smoking, but you're going to be tempted to go back into it because you didn't take care of what it was on the inside that needed to be cleansed, and you didn't reach out to the right type of source to get direction and guidance and cleansing in it. And so whatever it is we do on our own, it won't last, and those temptations will come back, and those temptations will linger in our lives. But I wanted to, end with the scripture, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified and you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And that's John 15, chapter 15, verse 7. And then I also wanted to give the scripture with the Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. It says that when the Holy Spirit is in control of our lives, He will produce the kind of, this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And self-control is everything, because without it, you know where you've been, and you know that your own self-control will lead you right back into wherever it is you have already been, that you don't want to return there. Most of the time, we don't want to return back to those dark places. And so with setting these new goals, New Year's resolutions, set some more deeper, more life-defining, more life-altering type of resolutions, not just losing weight, but go in, dig deep and see, okay, why do I want to lose weight? Because I've gained weight. Why have I gained weight? Go and ask yourself these questions, or find, you know, in that accountability partner, or find a true partner that you can talk with, that you can share some of your innermost, deepest things with, because some, you know, you will be able to find some people can help you work through some things. And if there's no one that you can talk to work through these things, you can either reach me on Facebook, contact me on Facebook, and I will give you my personal number so you can contact me, and either I can walk with you on helping you find someone, or I can be an accountability partner with you. And I also wanted to leave with saying there's, in the setting these goals also, there's a whole lot of emptiness that so many of us carry around. There's such a huge void that so many of us carry around, and we're not willing to acknowledge what this void is. We just think that it's something that, oh, I can patch this hole up. I'm going to put this in it, or I'm going to add this to it, or I'm going to do this. And we just keep running and spinning our wheels, just moving, but going nowhere, trying to fill that void that we just can't do it. And I just want you to know that God can satisfy and meet the deeper longings of your soul and spirit that no human could ever reach. He can truly give you a perfect, He can give you a perfect, pure, and unconditional love that no other person will ever be able to give you in this life. God is able to love you better and deeper than anyone else can, including the good natural love that you get from your parents, your children, your marriage, your mates, and then some of your better friends. You can totally trust God, because He is totally and completely perfect in all of His ways. God will not hurt you. God will not harm you in any way. He is completely trustworthy. God is faithful, and He's totally incapable of hurting you in any way, because He's not a man, but He is your creator. He is sovereign. His love is unconditional, and He guides your steps the way nobody else can. So if you desire to walk a new walk, if you desire to have a new mind, if you desire to live a new life, and if you desire to remove and let go of all of the past things in your life that has hindered you and kept you from moving forward, there is a direction that you can go into to achieve all of these things. And like I said, if you need an accountability partner and someone to help you walk in that direction, I'm available. I'm always available. And you can reach me on Facebook and contact me through message, and I'll give you my personal number, and we can talk and move forward just in that direction. I will help you to move forward. Because the way I help you, I help myself. And anything I do, you know, for my brother kind, my sister kind, or just for mankind, anything I do for anybody else, I do for myself. So where I help you to achieve spiritual enlightenment, I achieve it as well. So there's nothing, and the same goes for you, there's nothing that you can do for someone else that you're not doing for yourself. So keep that in mind as well. If you work hard at trying to help someone else, if you're trying to encourage someone, if you're trying to help edify someone, it is also giving that back to you as well. But it also works, you know, in the same way in the negative. So whatever you're trying to take from someone, you will remove and take from yourself. So always try to keep a positive, you know, frame of mind in anything that you're doing, and always try to, you know, do and live. We grow up here, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's not just a saying that it's something for you to learn, but it has absolutely no substance and meaning behind it. It is the word of God. And so learning to understand, adhere, and abide in His word, it will change your entire life.
Yeah. So, Tika, you mentioned about when you started about, and we'll finish up, but I wanted to just kind of elaborate on this, about going into that dark room and not knowing, you know, where things are and where the steps and things like that are. And what came to mind is some of us, on the flip side to that, some of us have gotten so comfortable, become so comfortable in our darkness until we know how to maneuver through it. We are comfortable there. So what I thought about when you said that was that just that, how some people really can move through that dark room because they've become so comfortable there. And that, think about that, that just sounds a little insane. And even when I think about that, you know, I can remember a time where I used to be at my house and just, I didn't care about opening the blinds and turning on lights. It was just, and now that's the first thing I want to do when I come in. I want the blinds open. I want the light to come in from outside. But I, in my own life, I can remember a time where I knew my darkness, and I just wanted to be right there. And so don't know your dark room so much so to where you know where everything is in it, that you can operate in that darkness. And that's something really to think about. And it's just, when you said that, Tika, I just thought about how many people are still there. And that just, if you really sit and think about that.
What can I say? When I'm saying that dark room, I'm not saying imagine yourself in your house with the light off.
No, I know you aren't saying that. I'm just using it as an analogy. Yeah.
But I mean, that is a comfort place to where, yeah, in our own house, even in the dark, we know where our bed is, we know where our dresser is, we know where the table is. But imagine that you're in somebody else's house, or you're in an unfamiliar territory, and you're walking in the dark. You don't know where anything is. That's how we live life. We live life in the dark, making a conscious choice not to let God in. We just say, well, I'm going to do it my way. Oh, I'm going to bump into this. Oh, I'm bumping into that. Oh, I'm going to trip here. Oh, I'm going to fall in this ditch. Oh, and it's just constant, it's constant, it's constant, until we're willing to make that choice to let the light in. As soon as the light is turned on, you see what's to the right. You see what's to the left. You see what's in front of you. You see what's above you. You see what's behind you, and you see what's below you once the light comes on. But until you choose to turn on the light, you walk in darkness.
Yeah, so, okay. Okay, well, everybody, we are kind of just about out of time anyway, and again, the lines are open. Before we go, we do want to just say they're open again in case someone has changed their mind and want to come through and have something to share about the New Year's resolution, or something that we said tonight, something you want to add to it, or explain in more detail. And I, Tika mentioned about Facebook. I know that not all of you have Facebook or operate on Facebook. So the Blog Talk website is also an avenue that you can use to send messages. So if you don't have Facebook and you do want to make contact, you can do it that way, or you can select the number one during any show. We can take you off air and get or give any information that you need at that time. So we can do that, you know, during the show. We can take you off air and you know, exchange numbers and contact information as well. So keep that in mind as well. Happy New Year to you all. We hope that everybody had a great 2011 and an even better, looking forward to an even better 2012. It's been wonderful, and we will resume every Monday night, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time going forward, and we'll continue to send out the reminders of each show. And again, just good luck on your New Year resolutions, and have a wonderful night. Thanks for listening.